Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
Since the start of the new league year in March, the Patriots have made a league high 28 roster moves at the wide receiver position. The most recent was trading for Josh Gordon today, and the Patriots viewed it in the sense that they had very, very little risk here because they traded a fifth-round pick. If Josh Gordon is not active for 10 games this season, the Patriots get back a seventh-round pick. Additionally, Gordon has a hamstring injury. He is expected to be able to play Sunday against the Detroit Lions. And so the team that had been looking for another weapon to complement Tom Brady now has it in the form of Josh Gordon, who is expected to be able to play for the Patriots on Sunday morning.
All right, if he shows up at the close of Beadle and Zoe, who are in the stadium today, Gordon still had not arrived at the stadium. It's now 4 o'clock. I don't know if he's gotten there yet or not, but it's just sort of odd. He was officially added to the roster last night. Trade was announced by both teams. Go on Patriots.com. He's on the roster. Yet he wasn't in the building this afternoon. Who knows where he is tonight? And Bill Belichick still won't talk about it. He won't talk about it.
I mean, that's bizarre.
So you just sort of wonder, and you never know with this player, what's up with that, you know? And that this is the beauty of Josh Gordon. Whenever he's not there, you're always going to be asking, where's Josh? Does anyone know where Josh is? Has anyone seen Josh? Where was he last night? Who was he with? You know where he is? I don't know. Where is he? I don't know. And that's what this guy is. And when he's not there, you don't know where he is and what's up.
Probably not a good look, too, that, you know, with that open roster spot, the Browns went and signed another wide receiver in Rod Streeter, who literally just tweeted a photo of him in the locker room saying, ready to get to work, excited to be a Cleveland Brown, glory to God, let's go.
So the guy that they replaced Gordon with is...
Is at work.
That's a great way to put it. That's a guy that used to be with the Raiders, right?
Yes, yeah.
So look, with Gordon, I told you, I don't mind the move. Okay, like, because at the end of the day, you can have your fifth-round pick. Like, they clearly have a need. But the fact that it came to this, to me, is unbelievable. Especially, you know, after all you went through a quarterback, and then you get rid of receivers and a left tackle and Nate Solder. Like, you've gone through all these things, and you've left the quarterback undermanned to the point where you got to go make a deal for Josh Gordon.
This guy. And I'll just add, you know, I wonder what happened in Cleveland over the weekend and if that's impacted here. Like, you know, for example, he's in the drug program, clearly, so he's subject to random testing. So he's going to get tested randomly no matter what. But it in the league, when you if there's a publicized incident, that can trigger a test. And again, he's tested randomly either way. But you better believe he's probably going to be tested when the word coming out of Cleveland is that they were worried about his sobriety. And that may have been one of the reasons he was released. So if he's taking a drug test or an alcohol test, do they have to wait for results? Have they gotten the results back? Where's the guy? Etc. So just welcome to the wonderful world of Josh Gordon. This is what it's going to be. And it stuns me. Gordon mentioned yesterday, I guess on Twitter or somehow, that he hadn't spoken to the Patriots at the time of the trade. And boy... You're going to trade for a guy, I mean, a fifth-round pick for someone like this, sight unseen, looking the guy in the eye, or giving him a drug test to make sure he's clean? Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns and has covered him for decades, she covered Belichick when she was with the Browns. So she's, you know, headed in the organization, if you will. Wrote on Saturday that the Browns, at the time, she's parting ways or releasing Gordon. After he showed up late to the facility on Saturday morning and was quote-unquote not himself, league sources told Cleveland.com. When Gordon did show up at the Browns facility Saturday, a little tardy, according to one of the sources, he complained of a pulled hamstring, but But he was fine in practice on Friday. Team doctors examined him, and in addition to the tweaked hamstring, there was concern that perhaps he was struggling again with his sobriety or on the verge of relapsing, sources said. A source told Cleveland.com that the mysterious hamstring pull was an issue, but that trust was a bigger factor with Gordon, and the Browns felt they couldn't rely on his sobriety.
It took him this long to figure that out? Like, you know, and I'm being a wise ass.
Well, no, but isn't the implication here that the way he showed up on Saturday?
Yeah, he had a relapse.
I mean,
he fell off the wagon. I mean, and so that's what it feels like. Now, again, look, in which case,
I believe he's tested for alcohol, not just weed. I think he's tested for alcohol because he talked about in that GQ article. You know, he's had a DWI, and he's admitted that he used to drink before every game in practice or smoke. So I would assume he's being tested for alcohol, too. How long does that take to clear the system, Murray? Do you know about that?
What's that, alcohol?
Yeah, if you get tested for alcohol.
I don't know. Yeah, let me look that up.
I'm curious. I'm not asking. I'm just
curious. All you got to do is get below the legal limit again, right?
I don't know. I mean, maybe his plan is, or his program is zero.
You can't have any?
Zero, yeah. I don't know. But he's coming off that kind of weekend, and you just trade for him without talking to him or checking in? Like, wouldn't you demand a drug test, a one-on-one with counselors or the people who are caring for him, or like, I don't know, if whatever's legal or not, but some sort of serious check-in on the guy, some sort of real due diligence before you just haul off and sends him on a fifth-round pick?
Yes.
I mean, to the extent that you could do it, I would expect and I would assume that you'd be going through all those steps if you were being thorough.
So would I. Yeah, I would assume that too. And again, I have less of a problem with the trade per se, because let's say he doesn't show up or whatever else, and they'll get something back. The league will intervene. Like, there'll be some sort of mechanism in place there. When guys don't report, deals get negated or what have you. So, like, I'm not overly concerned about them losing the fifth-round pick. It's unbelievable to me that they could get to this point.
It says here the average urine test can detect alcohol between 12 and 48 hours after drinking. More advanced testing can measure alcohol in the urine 80 hours after you drink.
Okay, 12 to 48, if that's the standard one. I mean, he talked about that in the GQ article, about finding these little windows where he knew he wouldn't be tested in a day or two, and so he could do what he wanted to do. And so, again, who knows? But that's the deal with this guy. And until I see him in the building and, you know, in uniform or out on the practice field tomorrow, I don't know. You just never know with this guy, that this is what happens when you bring in a guy like this. And boy, Greg's right, that your receiver situation got this bad. You have to assume this situation. You're the team that has to rely on this guy. And I mean, that is...
It's unbelievable that it got to this stage. Again, the one that really pisses me off is Amendola. That's the one that sends me into orbit, because at least with Cooks, okay, and I know it's not apples to apples with Amendola, because Gordon's an outside guy. Amendola can play on the inside and play in the slot, and Cooks is more the outside guy. But they got a first-round pick for Cooks. Like, you can't look past that for a guy with 1 year left in his contract.
That was a great return.
That ended up making $16 million a year on top of it. That was a good trade. But the Amendola one... You go into a game like Jacksonville, Brady doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to, and you're now, you know, you have to bring in this guy because you wouldn't give Amendola $3 million a year guaranteed for 2 years. Like, that one to me is hard to live with.
Okay, your thoughts again, Bob and Needham, go ahead.
First of all, Maz, it was a good trade, unless you want to try to win the Super Bowl during Tom Brady's supposedly last few years, which you've chronicled. You were going to get rid of him and put Garoppolo in. So how was that a good trade if you wanted to win the Super Bowl?
Okay, yeah, Bob, I didn't like Cooks, but whatever. Go ahead.
No, well, Cooks was a good one.
Well, he's having a pretty good start, I think. Anyways, the Felger, by the way, there's no risk involved in this trade. If they you're talking about draft picks. You said yesterday it was a lot to give, a fifth-round pick. Talk about, you know, Jordan Richards, Cyrus Jones, or Dominic Easley.
Or Jawan Bentley. A fifth-round pick. My point was, fifth-round pick's a lot for a guy who's played 11 games in 5 years. That's an exorbitant price for a guy who has been suspended, banned, or denied reinstatement 8 times in 6 years and has played 11 games in 5 years. To give up a fifth-round pick for that is a steep price, in my opinion. Usually that guy's out of the league. Usually that guy is working at the Jiffy Lube or in jail, or he's certainly not in the league. And you're certainly not giving up a fifth-round pick for that, for a guy who's played 11 games in 5 years, been suspended or denied reinstatement 8 times in 6 years. That typically does not go for a fifth. That is a free guy you sign off the street for nothing, or a seventh round pick at most, and you gave up a fifth. No risk? I hear this all the time. This is going to sound corny, but there is risk, and it's kind of to your soul. I mean, it's like, if this is what you're about and you bring in too many guys like this and you defer to guys like this, you lose who you are as a team. And so that's one little side risk. But then there's also, does this mean they're done looking at receivers? I mean, so...
See, I say no.
What if Josh Gordon comes in, looks good even in the first couple weeks? They go, oh, see, got our guy. And then in week 3, see you later, he's off the reservation. And he's off the wagon, and he's suspended again. And now you're past the trade deadline, and now you're sitting there with your schmens in your hands because you relied on Josh Gordon, the most unreliable guy in the modern history of the NFL.
Well, so that's the worst-case scenario, is that he ends up playing well for a short period of time. They think he's the answer, and then he bails on him. Like, that's so, which is why they should not make this the final move. No matter what Gordon does, it's a week-to-week kind of thing. Like, you can't look at a guy like that and all of a sudden say we can rely on him. You can't.
Yeah, no, they shouldn't. And, you know, if Detroit keeps losing, and same with Arizona, they should still be in on some of, like, Golden Tate or Larry Fitzgerald. You can't be done just because Josh Gordon, you know, comes here and maybe looks good for a couple of weeks.
But, Mike, on the part about losing the soul, like, this one has always sent me into orbit over the years, because this gets back to the notion of the Patriot way. You don't still believe in that, do you?
Well, no, not in terms of off-field stuff, but on-field? I believe it's important to have guys of football character in there. Yeah. Competitive, dedicated, hardworking guys. I bought in on that on day one with these guys, and I still do. I guess I'm still the only one, because I'm the one that cared that the starting quarterback blew off passing camps. But I still like that ethos on the team, and I think it's important. And I think it's one of the things that sets them apart. Again, I'm not talking about off the field. I'm talking about dedicated, hardworking guys.
Okay, but this is hardly the first time that they brought in a guy who's a dog and you know, and added him to the equation and given something up for him along the way.
I know, and when they've done it in the past, it's caught up to him at times. The Randy Moss, the Dalis Thomas, that grouping caught up to him.
Ali, to me, it's even the guys like Kenny Britt. Like, Kenny Britt. How's Kenny Britt the Patriot way? Or Albert Haynesworth? Like, which is why they lost me on that stuff a long time ago. I just don't want to ever hear them preach about the Patriot way. Like, that one goes right up my tailpipe.
This dumpster fire at receiver. How do you think Tom Brady feels about it? We'll talk about it right after this.
Felger and Mez. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Tom, you've talked about it throughout the preseason, and now you just look at the statistics. Patriot wide receivers in the first two games, 20 receptions for 187 yards. One of the men you traded, Brandon Cooks, has 12 receptions for 246 yards. He's averaging 20.5 yards per catch in two games. The question is going to become, should you have just kept Brandon Cooks and paid this guy? You take less of a salary. Why not keep the people you have who've been successful?
You know, Brandon's playing well. They got a good team. I mean, it's two games into the year. You know, the guys who are out there, Chris Hogan and Phillip and Cordell, they're playing their butts off.
Tom Brady on with Jim Gray last night on Westwood One. Tom Brady doesn't really answer that question, does he?
No, he does not. I heard this live last night. I was like, oh, he's ducking.
It's a good question. They let Cooks go. You take less money. So what do they do with the position? And Tom Brady doesn't answer the question. And you know who noticed that he didn't answer the question? Jim Gray himself. He was paying attention.
Tom, you successfully did not answer that question. Do you get frustrated by having a great talent like Brandon Cooks traded away?
That's the NFL. I think there's constant levels of frustration in the NFL. That's part of this sport and attrition that sets in, and mental toughness over the course of a long season. And it's really learn how to deal with your frustrations, whether it's in season or off season, that you end up allowing you to perform at your best. So I've really tried to focus on the things that I can control, and that's me playing at a high level. And I think that's served me well. I have weekly frustration. That's part of football. And, you know, I think anytime you're a football in football, as long as I have, there's, you know, a lot of things that, you know, you wish were perfect, but that's not the way the world is.
So how do you read those answers, Murray?
I thought that was pretty telling. You know, he talked about frustration there a couple of times. I think he is frustrated, and rightfully so. They left him out to dry there. I mean, really, he should have, Scratchy, should have actually posed the question more as, Tom, do you feel like the organization, specifically Coach Belichick, left you high and dry without weapons at wide receiver? And then, you know, he ducks it. Tom, don't you duck me with that adorable, cute little laugh there, you scamp. Tom, do you think your head coach is a son of a bitch?
But, I, you know what? I mean, it's funny, Murray, but you know those two are in cahoots.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I thought it was real telling. When I heard this, I was like, ooh.
I mean,
well, that's what I think, too. You can ask me, but I don't have to answer, so ask whatever you want.
But what I take out of it is that the fact that he's even answering, I mean, I'm sorry, the fact that he's even asking it tells you Brady feels this way. And tells you that Brady's okay with it being out on the table.
No question. He wanted it out there.
Those two, that's not an interview in the purest sense of the word. Like, you know, he grabs a guy and he asks him whatever he wants. No, those two are in business together. You know, if not literally, figuratively. Right? So the question's not even being asked unless Brady's okay with the question or it being presented a certain way. And so when Gray says they let Cooks go, he seemed perfectly good and your receiving numbers are already at the bottom of the league. And you take less money, so what do they do with it? And Brady answers by saying, well, my guys have been good. And then Gray says, well, you didn't answer their question. Brady says, well, we all have frustration. And he didn't deny the frustration. He just said, I do a good job of dealing with it.
Yeah, no. See, I think he confirmed the frustration. That's what I think that is. To me, that's confirmation. I feel frustration a lot. Again, to me, that's, yep, you know, but this is the reality of dealing with this coach. And, you know, he pinned it on the league, but the reality is it's the coach. It's not the first time Belichick's done it to him. I told you, if I'm Brady, I'm pissed. I'm like, I'd have been more, you know, appeased or satisfied if I'm Brady, if they did nothing. Like, you let Amendola go, you let Cooks go, you let my left tackle go. I get it. You're going to stick it to me now. Okay, okay, Tom, let's see if you're that good. Fine, so let me go out and try to win with what you give me. But now we get into the season, and now you see it's not enough, and you want to go get Josh Gordon? Screw you. I'd rather you do nothing. That's how I would feel like if I were Brady. Be like, oh, you're just awakening to the reality now that we don't have enough.
So I hear him. I smell him. I would say, though, that he's partially responsible for their situation at receiver, twofold. And one is, well, you know, if you're not going to go to the passing camps, you really can't blame the team for not having developed receivers, because that's when they're developed, in the spring. That's when you start and you weren't there. So that's part of it, and I ain't going to let that go. But that's part of it. The other is, you don't trust anybody and you won't throw to them unless you trust them, so it's hard to develop receivers when you're shutting those guys out. And apparently we have breaking news.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He has been found from Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, blue check mark on Twitter. Per source, as of about 15 minutes ago, Josh Gordon is in the Patriots building. There is still no word on whether he has passed a physical, however. So that tweet from Pro Football Talk just minutes ago. Per source, as of about 15 minutes ago, Josh Gordon is in the Patriots building.
Okay, 24 hours later, there he is. No word on whether he's passed a physical. Okay. I'm just curious why they announced the trade and add him to the roster without that thing first. I always thought that stuff came first.
Good question.
But, oh well, anyway, so there he is. Step one, he's in the building. Now let's see if he passes tests, passes physicals, and then we can go off and running with Josh Gordon. So there you go. 24 hours later, Josh Gordon is in the building. But on Brady, I feel his frustration, I believe he's frustrated, and I believe he blames the team, and the team is mostly responsible.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Bill. Brady's partly responsible. Partly.
So look, I'm not letting Brady off the hook. All I'm telling you is that the shortage of weapons was apparent to everybody early on, okay, because they let too many guys go. So all of a sudden now they let all these guys go. They bring in all these bums into camp. None of them can play, and they get to the point where they get a trade for Josh Gordon, which is also why Brady is saying, well, let's see. Like, why should Brady get his hopes up about Josh Gordon? And look, again, you know how I feel about Brady and the whole vis-a-vis Belichick and the power struggle. But when it comes to, if you're going to commit to him, you got to give him receivers. Like, what is that? I didn't like it in 2006. I don't like it now.
Okay, back to your phones. Will in Colorado, been waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Will. What do you got?
Hey, Phil, I'm befuddled by the amount of conclusions that are being drawn. They traded a fifth-round pick. You guys are acting like they just threw him a $30 million contract. Like, let's slow down a little bit before he just got in the building. Let's give him 2 days before we can say anything, okay?
So
that's all I got to say.
Really? So the guy for 5 years has done nothing but fail drug tests, fall off the wagon, not show up to work, blow off his employer for 5 straight years. And I've got to give him the benefit of the doubt?
You don't. His history, his reputation is his responsibility.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, his reputation is his responsibility and no one else's. Now, again, I don't mind the deal. I don't mind them giving up the fifth-round pick. So let me get that out there, just so everyone knows where I'm coming from. But do I think this is going to work? No.
He's been suspended or denied reinstatement 8 times in 6 years. I'm supposed to just... Well, he's just got here, so why don't you just see?
Yeah, this guy can't do it. He can't call.
I mean, maybe he can, but I don't know. I'm not allowed to look at that track record. What, are you crazy? Carlos in New Bedford. Go ahead, Los.
All right, so give the guy a chance. You know what I mean? I understand his history, but you got to give a guy a chance. If he's lights out, then you're going to have to eat your words, Felger.
Well, not just lights out. He's got to be there every week, Los. It's not just, I mean, he's got the talent, but he's got to be there in the playoffs.
Right. You guys ask, the Patriots way is still alive. Well, historically, the Patriots learn from other teams how problematic the position is. You know, problematic such as the comportment of the players, off-the-field behavior, and just overall overblown talent.
Well, no, Carlos, like, I get you. The receiver is a high-maintenance position. You're looking at Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh, like, I mean, it's a high-maintenance position. Like corner, like the talented guys are usually a handful. I get that. It's part of the reason I don't like it. Like, I don't like those handful receivers. I don't. I've never been that guy. I'm not the antic receiver guy. But I understand it comes with the position. This is different. This is different. This is a guy who repeatedly has been given second chances to support his family, have a job, honor his employer, all these things that we do as adults. And every single time to this point, he's bailed. Every single time. So this is different than, you know, a big mouth receiver or a high maintenance receiver. This is a whole nother list of issues and a whole nother category of issues that you're getting with this guy.
I mean, he's unreliable. It's really what it comes down to.
Epically.
Yeah, he's not reliable. And look, see, where the caller says, you know, give him a chance. How many chance? What? So all the chances he get in Cleveland don't count? Like, why is it? Does his life start here?
Well, no. I mean, am I allowed to use his track record or not? Because I hear a lot about the year he had in 2013, and I hear a lot about all the numbers he's put up. But so you can use that, but you're not allowed to go back and talk about all the drug tests he's failed, all the times he's been suspended or denied reinstatement. I mean, either we use the past or we don't use the past. Pick it, Patriots fans.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mazz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady's not going to throw to somebody that's not dependable, and Bill Belichick's not going to put somebody on the field that's not dependable. So my question in this whole thing, we know about the talent. How quickly can Josh Gordon get up to speed coming in after the season is
Randy, started, how quickly?
How quickly can he get
very
on the
hard,
field?
Man. It's hard. I mean, you look at what Ocho Cinco was unable to do there. Now you're bringing in another receiver, and I'm not talking, not saying that they're similar, but Josh McDaniels runs a very sophisticated offense, and Matt, just like you said, if he picks it up, man, y'all better look out in New England.
All right, if he picks it up. So that's just it. So step one, I guess, is in the books here with Gordon. He's in the building. He showed up. Josh Gordon finally arrived today, according to reports. Step two will be passing his physical, i.e. tests or drug tests, and then passing them every day and every week. So step two will be not just showing up day one, but then passing your test and then showing up day 2, 3, 4 every day and then every week. And then if he does that, does he pick up the Patriots offense? And I'm sorry, I'm predicting he does not go 3 for 3 on that. One of those things in there is not going to, he'll get caught up by the off-field thing or the on-field thing. And is just one of the hardest offenses to catch up in the league, it feels like. And this is a guy who has had no experience of putting his nose to the grindstone and grinding something out. And so it's just, It's a bad mix. It ain't going to work.
I mean, when you lay it out like that, pass the tests every day.
Every day, every week.
Okay, show up every week for a guy who's played 11 games in 5 years. I'm telling you, it's like 1% that this works. I do. I think it's that low. I'm not joking.
Look, I'm very critical of the trade, but I'm higher than 1%.
I'm telling you, I think it's that low. Now, again, the 1% will be a huge payoff if it were to pan out. But I think that that's what the chances are. If you're the Patriots, wouldn't you, like, have a room for this guy in the facility?
Yes.
Like, you're not leaving, pal. We're keeping an eye on you every day for, like, 4 months. You are not going anywhere. You're living here. Seriously. How else can you keep a guy like this under wraps?
And, you know, anytime he's not there, again, you're wondering, what's up with Josh? As a lot of people were today. Where's he? Where is this guy? What's going on? What does that mean? Where was he last night? Who was he with? Is he going to pass his tests? Is he going to be here? Is he going to show up? But that is what you get. Like, that's what you get when you assume a guy like this. And so we continue to discuss it with your thoughts. Joey in Londonderry. Joey's been waiting patiently as well. Joey, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
No problem. Mike, can you take a little bit of criticism without being a baby?
Sure.
Please. But real quick, the draft picks that Belichick lost in the Garoppolo deal is probably hurting them right now, number one. And number two, real quick, Maz, Amendola didn't get pushed out of town. He was taking pay cuts to help the team. And for in return, be given the best chance to win the Super Bowl. And when he gets that pulled off from underneath him, he left with an attitude. And Mike, listen, with Gordon, you're going way overboard. You think a worst case scenario. You're being. You ever go back and listen to yourself? You're being foolish. You're being jealous. You're being a transplant. This guy is oozing talent out of his ears. It's such low risk, no big deal. Oh, is he in town? Is he back yet? Where was he? Is he back yet? I'm sorry. What's the matter with you? You should be, well, not you because you're a Packers fan, but Maz got his head so far up your tailpipe. If he listens for once in a while, he can understand this guy.
Joey, I'm for the deal.
What's that?
I'm for the deal.
I mean, let him go. He's got an echo on his phone.
Yeah, big time. It's annoying, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in favor of the deal. Don't go lumping me up in with anybody's tailpipe.
I think it's ridiculous. I'm with Bedard. I think it shows your situation at receiver, which is borderline embarrassing that you have to go after a guy like this who stands for everything that you don't stand for. I mean, basically, that's what it comes down to. You stand for all these things, and he represents everything that's opposite of it. And you've mismanaged that position so badly, you have to go get this guy, the antithesis of what you stand for. But, of course, you're okay with it. But I'm not you. I don't have to be you. I can look at it from my perch, which is what I prefer. Ed in Milford. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'd like to give you my version of three up and three down real quick, and then I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay.
All right, first up. How about the referee that did not throw the flag for the offside call near the end of the game? Caused the Patriots a first down. That could have advanced the score a little bit. Number two, how about Coach Doug and his challenge? Again, with the spot of the ball. Again, Patriots fourth and inches have to punt the ball. And then number three, Blake Bortles, who made a deal with the devil himself. Now we go over to the bad side. How about number one, Coach Belichick and the entire coaching team for a wonderful game plan. Number two, Tom Brady and the whole offensive line who couldn't throw a lifesaver to save himself. Number three, rubber leg Gutowski, who again can't just right hook. He should be on the Bruins with that one.
Okay, I'll let you go there. You got your three up, your three down.
It was a bad day for kickers overall. 54 yarders, no gimme. I know he didn't miss anyone past 50 last year, but come on.
It wasn't within 30 yards. Do you see where that kick
was? Oh, no,
my God, it was horrendous.
Bad. It was bad.
God.
It was horrendous.
I wasn't that shocked that he missed.
But I'll tell you, the guy you're going to get on for that is Belichick. Again, he took the ball to start the game. They get on the field. They miss a field goal, which wasn't it 54 yards?
Yeah.
Okay, so a 54-yarder. So they miss the field goal, and then in the middle of the game, the Jags get that hairpin at the end of the second, beginning of the third, and they scored on both. Touchdown field goal and get 10 points there in the middle of the game to go from 14-3 to 24-3 and ran 28 plays in a row. 28!
The officiating that he's bitching about? Well, for one, the defense can get back on that play. Be mad at the Patriots for not drawing the penalty. That's where your anger should be on that one. The other one, they got it right. you know, they replayed it and they favored the Jaguars because they got the spot correct once they looked at it again. There's one play in that. Otherwise, they let them play. And I kept hearing Zoe talk about it throughout the whole broadcast. The refs really let them play. The Patriots got away with a couple of calls that they could have gotten on, you know, roughing the quarterback a couple of times. The one that was really egregious is the first throw to Gronkowski where they're pulling the jersey and holding him. Like that one they should have thrown a flag on.
I just think in general to say the ref, I mean, you got your ass kicked in that game.
Oh, they get absolutely.
And nothing to do with the refs overall.
Oh, they get manhandled. They get overpowered.
Up and down the field. You've gotten some calls, I suppose. Wouldn't have changed the fact that you got outplayed up and down the field for about 60 minutes. Christian and Hanson. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, I want to talk about Josh Gordon, and he's already raising, like, a bunch of red flags. I know your breaking news just said that he was first spotted 15 minutes ago. Well, on his Instagram story, he posted a picture of him at Grill 53 on Berkeley Street this morning. So I don't even think he's going to pass a test.
Okay, Grill 23, do they have brunch?
Yeah, I'm sure they're open for lunch.
I'm sorry, Murray. I'm not on Instagram. This time I am going to need you. You are You are my social media liaison.
Let me pull up my phone. I don't follow him on Instagram either.
Okay, I like that place.
Let's see where it's a tremendous place.
Yeah, good place.
Tremendous place. Hopefully it wasn't mimosas, right? Long commercial free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5. Sports Hub.
Tom, Josh Gordon has been traded this afternoon to the Patriots from Cleveland. A tremendous talent, also has had a number of problems. What are your thoughts on Josh Gordon coming over now to the Patriots?
I hate to make projections and expectations. That's not fair. I've never met Josh personally, just like I have met some of the guys that have come in the last couple weeks. So we'll see how it goes this week. Hopefully he can work hard, put the team first, and end up helping us in any role that he can find for himself on the team.
What stood out to you there, Mass?
That line, put the team first. Hopefully he can come in, put the team first. Like, and he means that on multiple levels, right? Like, one is, don't be selfish about getting the ball. We'll get the ball to you when we want to get the ball to you. And secondly, put the team first because you have a responsibility to the organization to show up for work every day and be at your best. Like, I think that's what Brady means. And so I just, you know, I heard someone say in all the sound and analysis that we were going through this morning, I heard someone say, Tom Brady's ecstatic right now. Maybe it was Steve Young. Like, someone said it. I remember thinking, no, he's not. Brady's not ecstatic. Brady's looking at this guy going, are you kidding me?
Here right. We go.
It's come to this, huh?
Exactly.
Another guy off, another flyer. I'm sure he's like, I mean, the guy can ball, but we're just continuing to throw crap against the wall, huh, Bill?
I mean, Brady's just too smart to take the cheese on that. They've done that to him too many times. Kenny Britt, Eric Decker, all these guys that they trot through here. Brady's not going to start doing cartwheels. You know, with 41 does come a level of intelligence, too, and perspective. Like, how many times have they done this? Yeah, Ocho Cinco, that worked. So Brady's looking at this going, give me a break. Let me see if this guy can actually show up for work, and then we'll find out if he can help us.
Well, let's hear some of Gray's follow-ups here.
How long realistically can it take to have a chemistry with somebody at this time during the season?
Anytime you get someone in the middle of the season, there's obviously a lot of things that have happened that have got the team to a certain point that they weren't a part of. So not sure how many of those things matter, but, you know, you'd like to
stop.
Try to get up.
I can't help but read into all of that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just, well, how long does it take a guy to catch up? Well, there's a lot of stuff that's already been installed and a lot of things that we've already gone through. I don't know how much of that is really important. So, like, in one breath, he says, well, he's missed all the camps and he's missed all the stuff. But in the other breath, he says, oh, well, I blew that off, too. So I don't know how much of that is really important. You hear all that in there?
Of course, yeah, he's catching himself.
Well, like, I mean, I'm just so deep in this that I'm right there. But that's what I think he's doing there. I think he's in one breath saying the guy missed all this, but in the other breath, it's really not that important because I'm blowing it off too.
I mean, let's say Gordon had been here. Brady wouldn't have been here anyway. Right?
Exactly.
Like if Gordon had been here early on, Brady wasn't at those camps.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Anytime you get someone in the middle of the season, there's obviously a lot of things that have happened that have got the team to a certain point that they weren't a part of. So not sure how many of those things matter, but you know, you'd like to try to get up to speed as quickly as possible, and it's really up to the individuals. You know, all these things need to play themselves out, and I'm not going to project anything. I'm just going to try to go be the positive enthusiastic leader that I am and try to be a great quarterback and, you know, try to embrace whoever's on the team. And we've all got to play a lot better than we played yesterday, and that's really where our focus should be.
Okay, there's one more follow-up with Jim. Go ahead.
Final thought on this. You've talked a lot over the years about trust. How long does it take to trust a guy? Just doesn't walk in the locker room tomorrow and you put your arm around him and then all of a sudden it's like Edelman or Welker or Gronk.
Yeah, certainly not.
How long does that take?
I always think trust is whatever receiver's out there. You know, you tell them to run a certain route and they run it the way that you talked about it. You know, the ball's thrown, it's caught, it's a positive play, and then you do it again. You know, if it's a flip of the coin and 50-50, sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. I mean, nobody can really depend on that. The coaches don't want to see that. The players don't want to see that. You want to know that the guys you're lining up next to, that they got it. They got their responsibility taken care of. And that frees you up to think about what your responsibilities are. But if, you know, you're worried about this guy or that guy or this or that, you know, it just takes away from what your focus needs to be as an individual. So everybody wants good teammates that can focus on, as an individual, what they have to do in order to help the team.
So what I take from that is that people just, fans, say, oh, look how fast he is. Or look at his athleticism. And look at his catch radius. And look at all these physical attributes. It's just, that's not even half the issue. It's about lining up right and running the same route that Brady wants you to run and seeing the same thing that he sees and knowing what your teammates are going to run. Like, that's the Patriots offense. This isn't one of those offenses where it's just like, you know, chuck and duck and greatest show on turf. And one thing leads to the other, and it's all about that stuff.
And all that stuff requires a level of focus.
And commitment and being there every day. And who knows with this guy? Who knows? I'm not optimistic.
Going back two cuts, where Brady says, positive, enthusiastic leader that I am. You mean like the guy who was screaming with McDaniels at his team on Sunday?
That's a good one, too.
That was really positive. Yeah, no, that was, I mean, it was just oozing positivity at that particular moment.
Tony Robbins is Tati Welton.
So that's Brady's reaction last night to Jim Gray on Westwood One. Couple phones here before the top of the hour. We've got Doug in Middleborough. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What do you got?
I'd like to talk about Gordon. I really honestly believe that we got to let him get in the door before we can start jumping all over him about him smoking pot and this and that. You know, I honestly don't think it's a big deal that he smokes pot. You know, it's legal here in Massachusetts now. It's not like he's, you know, out in some double wide out in the woods manufacturing crystal meth or something like that and selling it to little kids, you know? And, I honestly believe that he's going to realize that he found a really good thing here, and he's got a great quarterback to play with now. I mean, personally, I wouldn't be too excited waking up every morning knowing I couldn't get high, realizing I was playing for the Cleveland Browns. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's when you would need the weed, for sure.
Oh, you definitely got to medicate yourself if you're in Cleveland.
Doug in Middleborough was quite the ringing endorsement.
No, that was,
so this isn't really about the weed, though, right?
At least he's not producing crystal meth in the double wide, Murray.
Yeah.
Can
I just, two things.
Yeah, what's that expression Belichick has, the best ability's availability?
Yeah, two things. One, it wasn't just weed. You know, he's admitted to getting drunk and or high before every practice and game that he had played up until a certain point of his career, until he checked himself in one of the numerous times that he checked himself in, he admitted that he would drink a half a glass of whiskey or shots of Grand Marnier and rip bong loads before every practice and every game he ever played. So it isn't just the pot. But if it was just the pot, that I'd said this yesterday, those guys worry me almost even more because it is just pot and it's illegal, right? I mean, when I say it's illegal in the league. The league doesn't allow it. So it's not a purely addictive substance. It's only weed. And so to keep your job, you have to just not smoke it for a set amount of time. Just don't smoke a month before the test or, you know, whatever the parameters are now on these tests. Or just don't smoke it during the season when they test you. I know it's illegal. I know it's harmless. I know you love it. But your job, for whatever reason, doesn't allow you to smoke pot. And now millions of dollars are riding on it. Your wife, your family, your children, their well-being is riding on it. So can you not smoke? Nope. The guy couldn't not smoke. And that to me is almost worse. Like it's not even a chemical dependency, an illness, or a clinical problem. That's just being a total selfish dope is what that is being. So, like I look at those guys, even worse.
I mean, to me, I don't mind them taking a chance on the guy. I'm not worried about the fifth-round pick. I don't think it has a great chance of working, though. I don't know how you could. He's played 11 games in 5 years, and entirely the result of his own decision-making and faults. Like, that's the part that it's not like he had injuries. You know, it's different. So you look at it over that period of time, and I go back to that, the best ability is availability. This guy's unavailable for 69 out of the last 80 games. Unavailable. It goes against so much that they believe in down there.
Okay, again, must reading. The required reading for the Felger Mass Show is Greg Bedard's column in Boston Sports Journal. I'll read you some highlights of it coming up right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.